awesome Savior. Amen. God bless you.
Just for us.
Just for us.
Just for us.
Just for us. Just for us.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
This is radio station KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the Gospel in plain English.
your joy, fill my heart. Everybody joyful tonight.
Welcome to the Zion Hill Church Family Broadcast, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Nestled in the vibrant community of Pineville, Louisiana, under the compassionate leadership of Pastor Joshua Joydera, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's ZIONHILL.com. Now, let's join the broadcast already in progress.
The book is Matthew. The chapter is 16. We're going to look at verse 24. welcome all of our guests. We appreciate every one of you. And thanks to those who are live streaming with us this morning. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 says, Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. While you are still standing, let's pray for healing this morning. Hallelujah. Shall we all pray? Our Father and our God, we are so grateful for this beautiful day. We know, according to your word, this is the day the Lord has made it. We're going to rejoice and be glad in this day. Thank you for our health and strength. Thank you for your faithfulness in our lives. Today we stand in agreement with our brothers and sisters who are believing God for their healing. Your word said, if two shall agree concerning anything, it shall be done of our Father which is in heaven. The agreements don't need to wait till we get to heaven. You said, if we shall agree concerning anything here on earth, you shall make it happen. Lord, I thank you for wholeness this morning. I speak to everyone with illness in your body. Be healed in Jesus' name. We come against every sickness. We come against every disease. We come against every infirmity. In the precious name of Jesus, we take our rightful place in Christ this morning. Your word said you were wounded for our transgression. You were bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you. By your stripes we are healed. We decree and declare everybody in this house is healed. From the crown of our head to the sole of our feet, be healed in Jesus' name. We come against cancer. We come against heart disease. We come against any problem, any organ, any tissue that is not functioning for the purpose for which God made him, be made whole right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for wholeness. Nothing missing, nothing broken. And Lord, we thank you that you will give us a testimony that you are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who healeth us. We lift up everyone in the hospital. If you are listening, if you are watching right now, we pray that the Holy Spirit, the power of the Most High, will touch your body. We decree and declare by faith, you are healed. The Bible said, Job 22, verse 28, if you decree a thing here on earth, it shall be done of our Father which is in heaven. We decree and declare you are made whole. We decree and declare nothing missing, nothing broken in your life. And I thank you, O God, for wholeness in our body. We cover ourselves this morning with the blood of Jesus. And by faith, we say all is well. In our life, all is well. In our home, all is well. On our job, all is well. With our family, all is well. It is so. In Jesus' name. The church say amen.
Amen.
Say amen again.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. You may be seated. I want to talk for a few minutes on the subject titled An Invitation to Christian Discipleship. An invitation to Christian discipleship. I grew up as a Baptist boy in a Baptist church, and it is not uncommon that we will end our program with an invitation to Christian discipleship. As a little child, I really don't understand what all that was about. But as I grew up, the Lord gave me a revelation about what it really means to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. So by permission of the Holy Spirit, I'm talking this morning on the subject titled An Invitation to Christian Discipleship. Let me ask the question before we take the communion. What does it mean to be a Christian? When we profess to be a Christian, what does that really mean? Now, for some people, it means membership in a church. For some others, it means that they have confessed the Lord Jesus Christ and they have been baptized. For some other people, it simply means being religious. Others will tell you to be a Christian means to be a good person. Please permit me to remind us, according to the word of God, a Christian is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can close my book and go home. The question must be asked this morning: are you a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? In the book of Acts, chapter 11, verse 26, the word Christian was given to those people who were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Historically, you need to know that the term Christian was a derogatory term. It was an insult. So they were not called Christian because they were loved. Back then, the pagans really didn't like all the teachings and all the preachings of the followers of Jesus Christ. They also didn't like their lifestyle. And that's why they called them Christian. It was intended to insult them. You know how some people will use the N-word? It's really not to bless you. It's to insult you. So when the followers of Christians were called Christian, it was a negative word back then. But the truth be told, it's a privilege to be called a follower of Jesus Christ. But I got to be honest with you, just joining a church does not make you a Christian. Just being good does not make you a Christian. Am I right about it? In fact, the truth be told, none of us are good. I know many of you religious people, you think you're all that. But let me just be honest with you, you're no good. None of us is good. In fact, we came to church because we are no good. Somebody needs to tell the truth. We come to church because we needed forgiveness. Am I right about it? We recognize that we got a problem. And we came to God to forgive us of our sins. That is why a lot of religious people will not make heaven. Because they think they're good. They think they're all right. But the truth be told, we come to church because we messed up. In fact, some of us messed up just last week. But grace, somebody shout grace. It's the grace of God that woke you up this morning. Am I telling the truth about it? That is why the book of 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. Why is that important? Because God knows we're going to mess up again. I just messed all you religious people up. Some of you will mess up before you get home today. The Bible said there is nothing good about you or me. It is the grace of God. Amen, somebody. So the church is really not a place for good people per se. The church, believe it or not, is a place for forgiving people. When you see us shout, we know in our knowing that in spite of our messed up, we have a God who allows us to come before him and fess up and receive forgiveness of our sins. So to be a Christian is not about being good. It's about being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you're a follower of Jesus Christ, people can tell. Even the devil can tell. Because the things you used to do, you don't do them no more. The place you used to go, you don't go there no more. Because there is a change. And it's a continuing thing. You and I, we are still under construction. Are you all still here? So to be a Christian means to be like Christ. My assignment this morning is to encourage you and to challenge you and me to strive to be like Christian, to be like Christ. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. One day Jesus was talking to his disciples about his impending death on the cross. He wanted these guys to know, okay, we've been hanging out now for 3 years, but the reality is that in a few days, I'm going to be crucified on the cross. Matthew 16, verse 22, you see Peter, a good churchman, he said, I rebuke that devil. By the way, I can stop here and help some of you because some of what you are rebuking don't need to be rebuked. Sometimes you just need to change your ways. You cannot say you're going to rebuke a devil that you slept with all week. You lying to your own self. And this is why Jesus called him Satan. Are you still here? He started out being Simon. That's somebody with so many faults like you and me. Then he graduated to become Peter. That means the rock. How would you like to be called the rock? I can see you walking around and say, man, I'm the rock. Jesus called me the rock. You'll be walking around with your chest up. Say, hey, man, don't mess with me. I'm the rock. But within a few hours thereafter, he moved from being unstable, Simon, to being the rock, Peter, to be Satan. That's how limited human nature is. That is why Jesus used the opportunity, that same occasion, to tell every one of them in verse 24 of Matthew 16. He said, here's the deal. If anyone will come after me, you have to deny yourself. You have to pick up your cross and follow me. That's the invitation to being a real disciple of Jesus Christ. If you don't hear anything else today, the Lord Jesus sent me by permission of the Holy Spirit to encourage you and challenge you to deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow Jesus. Literally, discipleship means you are invited to be like Christ. You know how they had a commercial that said, be like Mike? They stole that from Jesus Christ. Jesus is inviting all of us, and those of you listening on radio, watching on television, live streaming with me this morning. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, the word cross, when we hear it, and I'm so glad the choir was singing about the cross this morning, because we have reduced that word to mere symbol. We sing about it. Some of us, we even paint the cross on our church wall. I remember not too long ago, I asked the deaconesses to get me a cross and put it right there in that baptismal area. I don't like it being blank there. Some of us even wear the cross as our jewelry. Some of us, we use it for ID, a neck chain or whatever. And the result is that the true meaning of the cross is getting evaporated. The cross is not just for decoration. The cross, believe it or not, is not something for you to wear. God wants you to bear the cross. God wants you and me to carry the cross. And if you do that, let me forewarn you, there will be a social stigma. When people see you a bearer of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, or you a carrier of the cross, they will look at you funny. If you truly bear the cross, and if you truly carry the cross, you will not be invited to a lot of stuff. I'm just letting you know up front. If you truly bear the cross, and you carry your cross like Jesus is inviting you and me to do, people who used to walk with you, they will walk away from you. If you truly, if you are serious about bearing the cross and carrying the cross, there are some people in your life that you will have to unfriend. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, if any woman will come after me, let that person deny themselves. Pick up your cross and follow Christ. To be a disciple, therefore, means to forsake what you cannot keep so that you can gain what you can never lose. My brothers, my sisters, my message to you this morning, until the kingdom of God outweighs the kingdom of man in your life, in my life, you're not yet a Christian. Please take note. The disciples of Jesus Christ, they were like you and me. Some of them were politicking. Some of them were juggling for position. Some of them were looking for power. Who is going to be on the right hand? Who's going to be the top dog? Who's going to sing solo? I'm tired of just singing backup. Who's going to be the top three people next to Jesus? But if you notice, as time goes on, they became persuaded. They begin to see that all those stuffs are mundane. And I'm hoping that you and me will graduate. That's what Paul was talking about. He said, when I was a child, I speak like a child. I behave like a child. But when I become a grown-up man, I put away childish stuff. Part of the problem in our churches today, too many Christians or too many people who profess to be Christian, they are still acting childish. One of the things I love about these disciples, the same people who were juggling for power, the same people who wanted to be a part of the clique, the same people who is trying to figure out who's going to be on the right, who's going to be on the left, they matured. They became real sophisticated disciples of Jesus Christ. Today, if you call any of them to the witness stand and you ask them to raise their right hand and say, brother disciple, do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God? I do. Sit down, tell your story. You're going to find out that every one of them will tell you following Jesus Christ will cost you. Am I right about that? Look at Peter. The same Peter that thought he's the rock, he was crucified upside down in Rome. Look at Andrew. He was crucified on an X-shaped cross. His hand going one way, the hand going another way, his leg going. Real cruel punishment. Look at James, son of Zebedee. He was beheaded by King Herod in Jerusalem, meaning the king cut his neck. I'm trying to tell you what's going to cost you to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Before you go around saying, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, you need to know the truth. Thomas, many of you will call him a doubting man, but the truth is that he matured in Christ. He evangelized the whole nation of India. Four people killed him by spears. Matthew, the brother who wrote the book of Matthew, he was killed by a sword right there in Africa, in Ethiopia. Nathanael was literally skinned alive and beheaded in Armenia. James, son of Alphaeus, he was stoned to death in the city of Jerusalem. Jude, the brother of Jesus Christ, he was killed with an arrow in Persia. Do you still want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Philip, we all brag about Philip being a good deacon who went to Samaria and literally evangelized the whole community. But Philip was crucified in modern-day Turkey. Simon the Zealot, he was killed. He became a martyr in Persia. Matthias was stoned. And after he was stoned, then they cut his neck. Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, he was beheaded on the chopping block of Nero, the emperor of Rome. Mark, who wrote the book of Mark, he was literally dragged on the street until his skin was peeling off. And then eventually he died. Luke, who wrote the book of Luke, was hanged on an olive tree. Matthias was burned alive. I'm talking about the disciples of Jesus Christ. John was banished to an island. No social media. No telephone, no laptop, isolated for life. You know what I'm trying to suggest to you? If you really want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, it's going to cost you. I say it's going to cost you. The question this morning, are you just playing church or are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Let me call your attention again to the word of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. If anyone will come after me, let that person deny themselves. Pick up your cross and follow Jesus Christ. Please take note. The lawyer and me cannot but look at those words very carefully. The first thing you have to do, you have to desire to follow him. He didn't say, you must do this. It's a choice, it's a decision. But if you desire to come after Jesus, if you desire, if you're really willing to be a disciple, Jesus said, it's going to cost you. What he was explaining to those disciples is very simple. He's letting them know, don't just go through all the theatrics. Here's the cup, here's the drink. He's saying to them, I must suffer. And the truth be told, in most of our churches today, suffering is a lost ministry. Just ask yourself, when was the last time you go to church and the pastor say, I'm going to teach you today about how to suffer. We have been teaching you everything but suffering. We teach you about the gift of the Spirit. We teach you about healing. We teach you about miracles. We teach you about prophecy. We give you an opportunity to shake your booty and have a good time. Ask the question, which church was the last church you were that said, today we're going to prepare every one of you to take a beating, to suffer for Christ. We teach you how to pray. We teach you how to worship. We even teach you how to praise the Lord. But we have not taught you the most important thing. The most important thing to be great in your life is suffering. I speak to all of you pastors. Many of them will stop me. Pastor, what do I need to do to be like you? The most important thing you can learn to do in your calling is suffering. That's the key to greatness. And that's the problem with our families today. We teach our children everything except what will really make them great. We never teach them how to suffer. We give them the best of everything. We give them the best. We send them to the best school. We give them the best education. We get them toys. We take them to vacations. And come Christmas, all kinds of gifts. Best shoes. Some of the kids, they're having the most expensive cell phone in their hand. All kinds of gadgets. Think about it. That's not what makes you great. So why are you doing that to your children? The truth be told, what makes you great, the reason why I'm who I am today, the reason why you're who you are today, is suffering. Am I right about it? Some of us, we came up with little or nothing. But we didn't give up. We didn't have enough money. We didn't have enough support. We didn't have enough friends. We didn't have enough resources. We didn't have no Michael Jordan shoe. But we purposed it in our heart that if I perish, I perish. I'm going to do everything it takes. I'm going on anyhow. And that's why you succeed. But today, our families are dysfunctional because we don't teach our children to be great. The number one problem in America today is dysfunctional families. Please remember the word of the Lord. If any man will come after me, let that person deny himself. Pick up your cross and follow Christ. When we were growing up, we would do anything it takes. Some of us wear the same blue jeans for days. We wash it again and wear the same thing over and over again. What is my message to you? You owe it to your children to teach them the truth about what it will make them great, what it will make them successful. If your kids know how to suffer, when hard time comes, it won't kill them. Are you listening to me this morning? Why? Because they know how to take a leak and keep ticking. You don't even have to be there. They can be in New York. They can be in California. But if you prepare them for life and you move away with this all-American culture that is destroying us and you follow the dictates of the Bible, I can guarantee you, whether you have 8 children, it's like playing basketball. You make a shot on each child, and every one of your children, you will make a basket on them. Are you listening to me? Jesus said, I must suffer. Today he's seated at the right hand of God, far above anything. Why? Because he was willing to suffer. He told his disciples, I must go through some things. I've got to suffer. I've got to be rejected. I've got to be betrayed. The very thing that many of you are running from is what will make you great. I've got to be thrown out of the clique, he said. They literally kick him out of the church, in case you don't know. The religious leaders, they called him everything but a child of God. What is the message? You can never be great until you're willing to be rejected. You can never be great until you're willing to be lied on. You would never be great until you're willing to be talked about. Ladies and gentlemen, you will find yourself walking around and people don't even want to talk to you. People won't help you. Some people will let you know they don't like you. Why? Because God is using all those experiences to prepare you. Are you listening to me? You show me a man or a woman that wants to be somebody. I show you a man or a woman that's been through something. Are you all sitting here this morning? God used those things to prepare you. It's like getting on the potter's wheel. The potter have to mold and shape the clay in order to make something beautiful out of it. You cannot be a soldier unless you're willing to hide in a foxhole. Are you listening to me? You got to have some lies told on you. You got to be mistreated on your job sometimes. Are you listening to me? You got to be lonely sometimes. And even your loneliness, you learn to shout. I'll tell you what makes a real Christian. They get bad report from the doctor and they begin to shout. Yeah, you'll be wondering, say, whoa, my God. The things that will keep them in sorrow is what keep them joyful. Because they know in their knowing when it's all over, God's going to get the glory. Are you all still here this morning? You got to be willing to go through something if you're going to be a disciple. So that thing that hurt your feeling, I'm talking about last week now, I'm not talking about last year. That experience that hurt your feeling so bad, it was God getting you ready for greatness. That thing that made you cry last month, it was God getting you ready to be somebody. Those people who overlooked you, those people who are rolling their eyes at you, God is using every one of them to prepare you for serious maturity. It was God getting you ready for your next miracle. The truth be told, anybody that has been great, they will tell you they went through something. That's why the songwriter say, must Jesus bear the cross alone? In all the world, go free. Guess what the songwriter say? No, there is a cross for how many? Every one of us. There's a cross for me. There's a cross for you. If you really want to be a great man, a great woman, if you don't just want to be an average, this is what it takes. I'm sharing with you in love. I don't want you to be coming every month eating crackers and drinking juice and say, oh, it's been a good day. Remember the words of the Lord. You have to endure some suffering. You have to been through some pain. People who are great men and women, they've been through some traumas. They've been rejected. They've been ostracized. They've been lonely. They've been abandoned. Many of them were forsaken. But God used those experiences to prepare them for greatness. You say, Pastor, why should I do all that? The book of 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 10 says, but after you've suffered for a while. That's right. That's what the Bible says. After you suffer a little while, that's when the Lord will vindicate you. The Bible says he will establish you. The Bible says he will perfect you. The Bible says he will promote you. He will come along and give you a diploma and say, well done. You've been good. You've been faithful. You don't have to wait until you die before you hear God say, well done. Are you still here this morning? After you've been through some things, that's when God will say, now I can use you. Many of you, you want to be used, but you are not a vessel of honor. Are you still here? How do you become a vessel of honor? Jesus told you and me this morning. He said three things you have to do. That's how simple today's message is. He said, number one, deny yourself. One of the biggest problems here in America is me, me, mine, mine. What can I get out of it? But the word of God said, deny yourself. Number two, take up your cross. The cross is symbolic of suffering. In fact, Jesus warned, if you're living a life that everybody likes you, something is wrong with you. You're not doing your job. Some of you, you try to please everybody. And then you end up pleasing nobody. He said, take up your cross and follow me. By the way, those of you who are lawyers in the house, you would notice something in that passage. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and pick up your cross and follow me. So you can't do one and not the other. If you're in a court of law, the judge will say, what about these other things? It's a mandatory language. Many of you want to deny yourself, but you don't want to pick up your cross. You know what that means? You're willing to deny yourself, but you don't want to die. Many of you, you're willing to deny yourself and pick up your cross, but you don't want to follow Jesus. That's why you come to Jesus Christ when it's convenient for you. You'll be amazed how many of us, right in this house, you used to do certain things, but you don't do that no more. Are you a disciple? Some of you used to come to prayer meeting. Now you don't pray anymore. You take God for granted. Some of you used to sing in the choir. But now you're warming the pews. You're singing so low, even the devil can hear you. Some of you used to fast. Ask yourself the question, when was the last time you fast? But now that you have a nice house and a good ride and a cat, you don't think you need God no more. And then you wonder why our community is in chaos. But I hear the Lord say, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves today and pray and seek my face, that's right, Pastor, and turn from our wicked ways, then, not before then I will hear you when you pray and I will heal your land. You want the crime problem to be solved in Louisiana? I just told you what we need to do. You want our neighborhood to be saved again? I just told you what we need to do. You want God to move in our community? I just told you what we need to do. You want to have revival in your schools, in your community? I just told you what we need to do. We have to do these things. Some of you used to serve in the house of the Lord. Some of you used to teach the word and serve faithfully. But now you do things out of convenience. Today, God sent me to invite you and me. He said, today is not a day to entertain nobody. Today is not a day to make you shake your booty. He said, tell them. Invite them to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And if any man or woman will come after me, you must be willing. It's a decision. I cannot make that for you. I want to pray with somebody this morning. We're going to go home early. Hallelujah. Many of you believe that can ever happen. But today is your lucky day. I'm going to ask every one of you to stand. I'm not inviting you to come because you need prayer for to pay your rent. I'm not inviting you to come because you want promotion on your job. Today it's an invitation to Christian discipleship. I wonder, is there anybody here today that can do an honest assessment of life? I used to be this. I used to be that. Now I'm slacking. I've allowed other things to get in the way. I remember the Holy Spirit challenging me. He said, son, I miss my time with you. You've become so